you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, we're beginning in verse 14 and reading through the end of the chapter. Romans 15, beginning in verse 14, this is God's word. "I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and miracles, the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul is writing at this point in the letter to explain his reason for writing. He knows a lot of the folks in Rome. We'll see that in the next chapter. Many of the people who are getting this letter are people that he led to the Lord. Others are those that he discipled. But he knows a lot of these folks. And he says he's been longing to see them for years. So what's with this letter? Because a lot of this stuff Paul said is stuff that was familiar to them. They'd heard Paul preach. He'd been teaching them. And so now he's writing this. He says, "I've written to you boldly at some points." In other words, I said it with special emphasis and forcefulness by way of reminder. I wanted to be sure you don't forget. There are some things that you and I know, but we forget it. We know something, but we behave as if it were not so. And Paul says, I'm writing what I've written in order to remind you forcefully of those things which you need to know in order to be truly sanctified, that is, set apart, made holy, to be truly sanctified in Christ Jesus. God wants us to remember the truth that God has spoken through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. We are nearing the conclusion of this. My only concern is not that there needs to be more, it's will we remember what we've learned? Will we embrace and live according to God's word? Because the gospel doesn't change, but we need to change. And in order for us to change in a way that is godly, we need to go back to the gospel. And so that's why Paul has written this letter. It is for the sanctification of God's people. Secondly, Paul explains why he has not already been to Rome. He says, I've been longing, not just interested in coming. My wife and I have wanted to go to Rome. We've been to a bunch of places. We've been to some beautiful places. I've been to more places than my wife. And so I was going to have a sabbatical in 2019, and I was going to take my wife to Europe. We wanted to do Rome and Italy and Greece, and then I thought I'd take her up through Scandinavia, show her where my ancestors' home is still standing in Stavanger, and this will be a great trip. But because of staffing situations here at the ranch, it wasn't possible for me to leave in 2019, so we delayed my sabbatical until 2020. Yeah, it didn't work, obviously. 2020 was not the right year to travel. So we deferred our plans and said, we'll just have to wait until this COVID thing is over. We'll go in 2021. And so in spring of 2021, we got our vaccines so that we could travel, and that obviously didn't work. Sometimes I think, gee, it really would have been nice to go and see those places. Take Susan. But you know, I can't honestly say I've been longing to go to Rome. No, I've been interested in going to Rome. I haven't been longing to go to Greece. Paul says, I've been longing to go to Rome. And he wouldn't have said that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit unless it was true. He's been longing to go. So why hasn't he gone? He loves these people. He wants to encourage them. Why hasn't he gone? He says, well, I've been busy. I've been busy going to places that haven't heard the gospel before. Because the aim of my ministry, the thing that I really wanted to do, was to share the gospel with people who hadn't heard. I didn't want to build on somebody else's foundation. Well, he says, now I've covered the territory. I've made an ark and brought the gospel to all these places. And there's no place else for me to work. I've been there. I've been back to check on them. It's going along well. I'm corresponding with them. Every time I'm in prison, I write them a letter. And so, you know, he says, now I've set my eyes on Spain. But Rome, you're on the way. So here's my plan. I'm going to need some help financially with the mission trip to Spain. And I thought of you. Have you ever had that happen where somebody feels the Lord is calling them to do something and they think you ought to fund it? Okay? I get emails, phone calls, texts, snail mail. Lots of people have a great idea about what God's calling them to do, but they need my help. Okay? And I know you get those appeals too because I send them to you. But here's the thing. Paul isn't saying, I don't really care about you. He's saying, I do care about you, and I want you to join me in reaching Spain. Okay? This is why we're here. You know, well, I believe that the reason God left us here is so that we could have perfect fellowship. No, we're going to have perfect fellowship in heaven. Between now and then, we have imperfect fellowship. Okay? Well, I think it's so that we can grow in our understanding, get more. No, we will still be learning when we die if we do things right. The purpose for our being on earth is not so we can learn more. In heaven, we will know fully even as we are fully known. Well, I believe we're just supposed to be here to worship God. We certainly are supposed to be worshiping God. But our worship in heaven will be perfect, and our worship here is not. There is one thing that God has left us here to do that we cannot do in heaven, and that is reaching lost people. You say, well, I'm not an evangelist. Well, you don't have to be an evangelist, but you ought to be a witness. You ought to be prayerfully looking for opportunities. Just do you ask God, Lord, would you give me an opportunity today to share your love with somebody? No, I don't get out much. I don't either lately. But one thing that I find I can do is I can not only share with people when I go to the store or whatever, but I can support people who are able to take the gospel to places I can't go. Okay? And one of the ways that I do it is personally, but one of the ways I do it is through this church. I want to commend you for the fact that as a church, you are very generous. And once again, in 2021, over 50% of the income to the church was invested in missions. That's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you something. Don't think that your investment in missions is somehow insignificant. Because that's exactly what Paul was encouraging the people in Rome to do. He says, I'm going to Spain, and I'm not asking you all to come with me. I'm asking you to help me get there. I'm asking you to help with that outreach. He continues, even after he's covered all this territory and is now looking for where else he might go, he continues to be looking for places where he can bring the gospel to those who have not heard. That should be top priority for us. And if you don't think that there are people in Ware's Valley who've never heard the gospel, I can assure you, you are mistaken. In fact, there are people who come to church who've never heard the gospel. And I hope you know that.
In Psalm 145, we read, one generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. God is pleased when we share his love with the future generations. One meaningful way you can share Yahweh to the next generation is by leaving a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is home and school to children from all over the country who need a safe haven. Please pray about how you might help support these kids and consider joining Legacy 145. Legacy 145 is a growing group of people. People who see this as a meaningful way to thank God for all they have been blessed with. You can learn more about it by going to wvr.org and click on the link for Legacy 145. Again, find the link for Legacy 145 on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Paul then lays out his plan and he requests prayer. His plan is I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to give this gift. Hopefully it'll be well received. And then I'm going to Spain, stopping off in Rome on the way and spending some time with you all. That's the plan. Verse 24. It's good to have a plan. Look at it. I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. He's got his plan. Is it okay to plan? Absolutely. It is good to plan. It is good to have a plan. Not only that, it is good to do as Paul did and enlist the prayers of others. Verses 30 and 31. Look. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. That's what he's asking for. You can join me in my struggle by joining me in prayer. Together, we will go to God and ask that this thing be accomplished. That's a good thing. There are hundreds of people who pray for this ministry every day. And that's one reason God has been pleased for all these decades to bless this ministry as he has. Because God has used it to motivate people to pray. There are people that I pray for more than once a day. There are people that I pray for once a day. There are people that I pray for once a week. There are people that I pray for occasionally when they come to mind. Not everybody's at the same place on my list. They don't need to be. But every now and then, God will put on my heart to pray for somebody. I'll pray for them, and then God will remind me again, you need to be praying right now for that person. So I pray for them some more. And if that is happening in a real intense way, I typically will either send them a text or pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, you've really been on my heart. Tell me what's going on. And it's amazing how it turns out, oh, I can't believe you're calling right now. Thank God. This is what's happening. This is what we're going through. How did I know that? I had no clue, but God knew. And God wanted them to know that he knew. And so he used a word of encouragement that I'm praying for them to let them know that he is looking out for them. I can't do anything except to join them in their struggle. Now, parenthetical here, we ought to note that the Apostle Paul describes some of what he's going through as a struggle. Some people think that if you walk in the Spirit, there are no struggles. Okay? You are healthy from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, and the money from everything you do just comes back to you manyfold. The prosperity gospel is not the gospel. And Paul says, join me in my struggle. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, sometimes it's going to be really hard. And it's not because God's forgotten you. It's not because God doesn't keep his promises. It's because just as he promised, in this world you will have tribulation. But don't be afraid, Jesus said. I've already overcome the world. Okay? Our struggle is temporary. Our hardships are not permanent. If we are in Christ, we're headed for glory. It's going to turn out fine. You know, babies being born is a little tough on the baby. And it's no picnic for the mom. But it's worth it in the end. Amen? And when you and I go through difficulty, we need to realize that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be with me forever. Hallelujah. Not only that, but when we're praying, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you. In 1 John, it says that when we finally see him face to face, we're going to be like him. Imagine you being like Jesus. So, it's good to have a plan. It's good to enlist the prayers of others. And it's vital to realize that God's will shall prevail. How'd this trip to Spain work out for Paul? Well, he made it to Rome in chains. That wasn't what he was praying for. It wasn't what he asked them to pray for. He asked them to pray that the folks in Judea who were hostile toward him and toward the gospel would not do the kind of things to him that he had done to Christians before he got saved. But it didn't work out the way he hoped. Didn't work out the way they prayed. If you've never prayed for something and been disappointed in the results, you haven't prayed enough. There have been times when I was so sure what God was going to do. Okay? It was evident. I mean, it's like this happened. So now I see where this is going. All right, Lord, please. And it just goes, poof. And I'm like, oh, what? It's not what I prayed for. And not once has God said, oh, it isn't? I'm so sorry. What was it you wanted again? It's good to have a plan. It's good to enlist the prayers of others so that we are united in our struggle. But let me tell you, Proverbs 16:9 says it well. You've heard this verse. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. I am going to go to Spain. Not right now. I will stop off in Rome. Yes. It just wasn't the way Paul envisioned. But it was what God had planned. What happened in Jerusalem was not what Paul was hoping for. But as he was on his way to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit warned him repeatedly of what was going to happen. And Paul began to get the picture, and he said to the people along the way who were trying to warn him, look, I'm ready to die if that's what God wants. Eventually, he did. Not on that trip. But folks, you and I need to realize, I get prayer requests sometimes for people in their 90s who've been battling illness for years, and their relatives want me to pray that they'll be healed. I'm just thinking, you know, I know you love this person, but if you really love them and they know Jesus, which you're telling me they do, why would I want to pray for them something that I would never want anybody to pray for me? Is that depression? Not necessarily. When you're in your late 90s and you've been faithful, it's not wrong to say what the Apostle Paul said. I'd rather be in heaven. I'd rather be in heaven. So, make your plans. Pray hard. Encourage others to pray with you. But rest in the fact that our steps are ordered by the Lord. And he knows best and loves us even more than we love ourselves.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.